unhindered by hindsight is the message, Dolores, and I want to share with you today. I think it'll be a big blessing to all of us. Unhindered by hindsight. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, was very fruitful. He had about 11 sons, and his youngest son, Joseph, was his favorite. Jacob pampered the boy. Jacob, let it be known that Joseph was definitely his favorite. But when Joseph's older brothers saw that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of them, they hated him, which is reasonable. They hated Joseph and could not speak a kind word to him. And then Joseph received a couple of dreams from the Lord. These were not ordinary dreams. These were truly inspired by the Lord. And Joseph made a mistake, though. He told his brothers the dream. And basically, the message of the dream was that they would all bow down to Joseph, that he would rule them. Now, you know, older brothers are never going to like that idea. Whenever Joseph told them his dreams, they hated him all the more because of his dreams and what he had said. Then, Joseph's brothers sold him into Egyptian slavery. Things were going pretty badly for Mr. Joseph. In Egypt, Joseph adjusted to his new environment, and he was promoted. He was still a piece of property that belonged to an Egyptian, but he was doing pretty good as far as a slave can go. But while he was in the employment of this wealthy Egyptian, the man's wife began noticing Joseph and enticed him. But Joseph rejected the enticement. But look at this mistake Joseph made in Genesis 39, verse 11.
One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside.
Joseph was careless. He went into the master's home to do his business, his work, his managership, and there was no one else in the home. And the wealthy Egyptian's wife tried enticing Joseph one more time, and since he would not succumb, she accused him of trying to violate her. And then Joseph was thrown into prison. Once again, he was a prisoner. First of all, his brothers sold him into Egyptian bondage. Now, he's been elevated in his master's household, but tragedy strikes once again, and he's imprisoned. And yet, Joseph remained unhindered by hindsight. He never looked back. He never quit moving ahead because of looking backwards. He simply moved on with his life. Even in prison, look at what happened. Genesis 39, verse 22.
So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there.
In the prison, Joseph was such an enthusiastic person that he was elevated to managership of the prison. He was made prison warden, although he was a prisoner himself. He was moving on with his life because he was unhindered by hindsight. Brother, sister, it's a lesson for you and me. We must never allow hindsight to stop us in our tracks. We must never allow memories of the good old days, the past, to stop us from moving forward in God's will. I want to share with you how we can live unhindered by hindsight. First of all, we trust God's ability to use the unpleasant past. If we're going to move on with life, we must trust God's ability to use the unpleasant past. All of us have something unpleasant that's happened to us. We want to move on. We want to turn our eyes forward and not keep looking backward. You see, hindsight mourns over the valuelessness of past unpleasantness. So Joseph could have been a young man. In fact, he was only 17 years old when he was sold by his brothers. He could have spent the rest of his life mourning over the valuelessness of all that happened to him. Are you caught up in that kind of living? Where you wonder, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did I say this? Why did I say that? You see no value in past unpleasantness, and so you're stuck in a rut. You're not going any place, but we're not going to let that happen to us. We are going to trust God's ability to use past unpleasantness. Not only does hindsight mourn, but hindsight also grieves over the loss of past pleasantness. All of us have lost something or someone. I recall when Dee and I lived in Tokyo and pastored a church of about 70% U.S. military. So many of those young folks moved to Tokyo, and they could only think about their church back home, or their families back home, or the ease of living in America. They were always grieving over past pleasantness, the loss of past pleasantness. But we don't want to do that. Hindsight forgets God's ability to use everything for His purposes. So we're not going to give ourselves to hindsight. We are going to remember God's ability to use everything that's happened in our past for good purposes. Let's look at some scriptures which describe God's infinite ability to use past unpleasantness for achieving good purposes. Proverbs, please. Chapter 16, verse number 4.
The Lord works out everything for His own end.
Isn't that grand? God uses everything for achieving His own ends. Proverbs 16, 4. Please write it down if you can. He uses everything for achieving His own goals, His own purposes, His own plans. So Joseph, even though life had treated him very badly and people had treated him so unkindly, he kept his faith in God and God's ability to use past unpleasantness for achieving good. Listen to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12.
Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel.
Paul was arrested, imprisoned, and on trial for his life. But when writing to the Philippian Christians, there was no remorse in his voice. There was no mourning over past unpleasantness. There was no grieving on the loss of the good old days. Paul wrote, let's read Philippians 1:12 again.
Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel.
Did you hear that? What has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. So, brother, sister, what has happened to you can serve to advance God's purposes and plans for your life. Don't give up. Don't be downhearted. Don't let hindsight fill you with mourning grief. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 36.
Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
I read the other day in Luke that Jesus' apostles, His followers, their faces were downcast. And as they spoke about Jesus, they reminded themselves, it's 3 days now since His crucifixion. But God had a plan. God took all the torture, that Jesus experienced. God used all the pain that Jesus felt. God used all the tragedies that ever struck Jesus to achieve the greatest good for the human race. Let's read again, Acts 2:36.
Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
God has made this Jesus, who was crucified, who was tortured, who was rejected. He has made him both Lord and Christ, not only of planet Earth, but of the whole universe. So, brother, sister, trust God's ability to use the unpleasant past. Don't let the unpleasant past fill your thoughts, fill your memory, and control your life. We want to live unhindered by hindsight by refusing to dwell on hindsight. Very important scripture from the New International Version. I hope you can jot it down or remember it so you can write it down later. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 18. One of the most healthy verses in the scripture. Isaiah 43, verse 18.
Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past.
Do not dwell on the past. To dwell on something means that we keep our attention directed toward it. So we can choose to not dwell on the past. Direct your attention forward and not backward. In fact, let's read about a man who had a whole lot of past unpleasantness. The Apostle Paul began his career as a young man hating Jesus and hating the church. He can remember the screams of the little children whose parents he drug off to jail. Paul could envision those stones pounding Stephen's life out of him. Paul could remember hearing the bones crack as stones fell upon Stephen's body. Saul could recall the redness of the blood that splattered the ground around Stephen. And yet, Saul became Paul and made a deliberate choice to not look backward, but only look forward. Listen to his words in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13.
One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead.
On purpose, he forgot what was behind. It doesn't mean that he ever completely erased it from his mind, but he just didn't dwell on it. Remember the scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 18? Do not dwell on the past. It may be in your memory, but you don't have to meditate on it. You don't have to constantly think about it. Don't dwell on it. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Replace, my brother, sister, replace human hindsight with divine foresight. If you go to the Word, and in the Word, we find divine foresight. This is these words penned by Brother Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Think about such things. We'll put the last of the verse at the first. It says, think about such things. Well, what kind of things? Things that are noble, things that are praiseworthy, things that are truth. So we go to the Word, brother, sister, and we allow the Word to control our meditation. And instead of concentrating on human hindsight, we think only about divine foresight. Here's some divine foresight for your meditation. Jeremiah 29, verse number 11.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
Here God predicted your future, my future. I know the plans I have for you, plans for prosperity and not ruin, plans to give you hope and a future. So, brother, sister, go to the Word, find the promises, meditate in the promises, so that God's beautiful, beautiful promises of your future will control your mind. I'm going to ask the Lord to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 31, verse number 19. One of my favorite verses tells us what God has in mind for our future. Psalm 31, verse number 19 says,
"How great is your goodness which you have stored up for those who fear you."
Now listen to this. Future tense verbs. Let's read it again, please, Dee.
"How great is your goodness that you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you."
How beautiful. What a beautiful prediction of your life. We're reading here divine foresight. How great is your goodness which you have stored up, past tense, past perfect tense. Brother, sister, start replacing today. Start replacing human hindsight with divine foresight. We all know the scripture, Romans 8, verse number 28, how that God uses all things for the good of those who love Him. So, brother, sister, we want to trust God's ability to use past unpleasantness. We want to trust Him and not concentrate on hindsight. We want to refuse to dwell on hindsight. But thirdly, we want to move forward with our life. We want to move forward with our life. When life appeared to slip backward, Joseph moved forward. You can do the same thing. You might think that your life is slipping backward, but you can choose to move forward because, you see, your God's going to move you forward if you'll let Him. Joseph, rejected by his brothers, sold into Egyptian bondage, but look at what he did in Egypt. He was a piece of property now, belonging to a wealthy man. We're going to read Genesis 39. Verses 2 through 4.
"The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned."
Joseph was elevated to manager of this wealthy man's property. In fact, later on it says that Joseph's master didn't even pay attention to his accounts. He trusted Joseph so highly that the man turned all his property over to Joseph's care and leadership. Joseph was moving forward. Yes, he was a slave. Yes, he had no freedom. He could not return to his native land and to his family. But instead of letting his life slip backward, God moved Joseph forward. You know, He's doing the same thing for you. I don't care how far backward you think you have slipped. If you'll put your hand in God's hand, God will carry you on. His faithfulness will carry you along in His perfect plan for your life. So don't give up. Don't give over yourself to human hindsight. Keep looking to God and His divine foresight. Everything God made moves. From the tiniest atom to the most great galaxy, God likes motion. So God designed our life to move forward toward Jesus' likeness. Brother, sister, in everything that has happened to you and everything that is currently taking place, God is moving you toward Jesus' likeness. Maybe you can't do what you want to now. Maybe you're restricted because of retirement or finances or health. But God is moving you onward. Brother, sister, always remember this. When you can't have what you want, then want what you have. When you cannot have what you want, then want what you have. Start enjoying what you have in your possession. Another way you can put it, when you can't do what you want, then do what you can. That's what we do, brother, sister, with our lives. Because even if our life looks like it's at a dead standstill, it isn't. God is in the process of moving us forward to Jesus' likeness. So, brother Joseph, even in Egyptian bondage, God prospered him. And when he was thrown into an Egyptian prison, God prospered him, kept moving Joseph along toward future rulership over that great nation. Always, my brother, sister, always keep focused on God's goal for your life. His goal is forward motion. Even if you're a quadriplegic, God's will for your life is forward motion. He's taking you into his plans, into his purposes, and his ultimate plan for every one of us is that we gradually accumulate more and more of Jesus' image. Listen to these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18.
And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory.
Did you hear that? You are being transformed into Jesus' likeness with ever-increasing glory. So you are not inactive. God is the active one who's doing his work in you. So hindsight must never be allowed to control us. Don't be looking backward. If you're looking backward, you can't be going forward. So, brother, sister, let go of all the past pleasantness you lost. Even if it was your own fault, let go of that past pleasantness that you cannot retrieve. Joseph made mistakes. He told his brothers that he would eventually rule over them and cause their hatred against him to flare up even higher. He made the mistake of going into the Egyptian's home with no one else present. And so his mistake got him thrown into prison. But you see, even his mistakes served God's purposes. So my brother, sister, God is using everything you caused or either happened to you without you causing it. God is using it to achieve good things in your life. Go to the Word, my brother, sister. Well, the reward for living unhindered by hindsight, what is it? What is the reward you and me will reap if we live unhindered by hindsight? Our reward will be irresistible fruitfulness. God intends for your life on this earth and your life in eternity to produce endless fruitfulness. I love these words of Joseph from Genesis chapter 41, verse 52. Now notice, he's been in Egypt for about 20 years, maybe a little more than 20 years, unable to return to his homeland and to his dad that he loved so very, very much. But listen to these words, Genesis 41, verse 52.
The second son he named Ephraim and said, It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering.
Joseph named his second son Fruitful. Ephraim means fruitful in Hebrew. And Joseph said, I have named my son Fruitful because... Now I want you to notice, why did he name his son Fruitful? Let's read the last part of the verse again, D.
Ephraim said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering.
God has made me. Notice his hindsight was gone and he was only looking at God. God has made me fruitful. So, brother, sister, quit looking at your fruitlessness. Quit looking at anything around you or anything in you and lift those eyes to God. Joseph said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Even if right now you are going through the worst trials of your life, God will cause you to become fruitful in the land of your suffering if you reject hindsight and trust divine foresight. I want to give you Isaiah chapter 27, verse 2 and 3. It says, sing about a fruitful vineyard. Now the Lord is speaking. And that fruitful vineyard is you and me and the earth. Sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. So, brother, sister, if we choose to live unhindered by hindsight, God will watch over us continually. He will guard us. He will water us. And we will become known as a fruitful vineyard. Fruitfulness is God's will for your life. Nothing more, nothing less. And we become fruitful by choosing to live unhindered by hindsight. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so very, very much. God, I pray for these folks who are listening to this program or listening to future CDs of this program. I pray, God, you would inspire them to look ahead and not look backward. You would encourage them, Lord Jesus, to let go of hindsight and look at your promises, which reveal to us divine foresight. Oh, Jesus, give them victory so that they can become as fruitful as you intend and as they want. In your glorious name, Jesus, amen.